overcoming resistance to revival today, particularly facing threats to religious freedom. As part of Henry Morton Stanley School of Christian Journalism, we want to get the news that is not normally being covered, and this is vital. A key part of our mission is to persecute churches. Last year, according to World Watch List 2019, 4,136 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons that they know of, just in the 50 top nations where Christians are persecuted the most, according to World Watch List. On average, that is 11 Christians killed for their faith every day. In 2018, at least 2,625 Christians that we know of were detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned for the faith. Now, that's what we know of. And 1,266 churches or Christian buildings were attacked in 2018, including this magnificent church in China that was completely demolished by the Chinese government. 215 million Christians experienced persecution in 2018. And, of course, we've got a major focus in the Sudan where the Nuba people are under siege. Now, according to World Watch List, this means every month, 322 Christians are killed for their faith, 214 churches and Christian properties are destroyed, and there's 772 forms of violence committed against Christians. They predict 245 million Christians will suffer some form of persecution in 2019. That's a 14% increase on last year. That would represent 30 million more Christians will be abused for their faith than in the last year. That also means that worldwide, one in every nine Christians will experience high levels of persecution in this coming year. One in nine. As our friends in Egypt have said, they may destroy our churches, but they can never destroy our faith. Our vision is Africa for Christ. And yet in South Africa, the missionary sending base South Africa is facing a serious threat with the hate speech bill. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The only biblical restrictions on freedom of speech in the Ten Commandments are, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain," and "You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor." So outside of those prohibitions against blasphemy and slander, we have freedom of speech. Now, additionally, you could add, "Do not commit adultery" would prohibit immorality and pornography in all its forms by upholding the sanctity of marriage. But of course, pornography isn't speech, but still, if some people want to use that argument. And "Do not commit murder" would prohibit incitement to hatred and violence by upholding the sanctity of life. So outside those few biblical restrictions, we have freedom of speech. At the beginning of our Lord's ministry, he quoted from Isaiah 61 verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound." Historically, freedom of speech is a fruit of the Protestant Reformation. As Colton Hayes in Christianity and Western Civilization wrote, "Wherever Christian ideals have been generally accepted and their practice sincerely attempted, there is dynamic liberty. Wherever Christianity is being ignored or rejected, persecuted or chained to the state, there is tyranny." Now this map shows, strangely, medium persecution in red and high persecution in purple. I would have put it the other way around, but nevertheless, it gives you an idea that most of the persecution of Christians today is happening in Asia and North Africa. 1040 window, basically. Christianity teaches, "Do to others as you want to be done unto." Now, where the Lord is the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The essential foundations of freedom are found in the Bible. The dooms of King Alfred, the common law of England, the basic foundational restrictions on government are written in the dooms. 9th century, starting with the Ten Commandments and the case laws of Moses and the Sermon on the Mount and the golden rule of Christ and all of these great commands. To Magna Carta in 1215, which was written by a pastor, Stephen Langton, thoroughly saturated with scripture. And the Petition of Rights of 1628 and the English Bill of Rights of 1689, the Glorious Revolution. Political, economic, and religious freedom is founded on freedom of thought, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, and freedom of speech. Can add freedom of association, freedom of the press too. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. However, anti-Christian forces and tyrants have always sought to restrict freedom of speech, freedom of religion, therefore freedom of thought. This is well illustrated in George Orwell's 1984. What a great book. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. Truth is a new hate speech. Free speech is hate speech to those who hate the truth. They don't want you to have free speech, so they invent the term hate speech to shut you up. Everyone has an opinion on just about everything, but we should prefer the truth. Truth sounds like hate to those who hate truth. Truth is truth, even if no one believes it. A lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. You don't determine the truth by majority vote. Better to be slapped with the truth than kissed with a lie. Great Russian proverb. Am I therefore become your enemy, wrote the Apostle Paul, because I tell you the truth. Galatians 4:16 makes it clear. We need to be truth tellers. In the past, for example, the Middle Ages, political leaders could silence dissent by accusing critics of treason. That's what Lady Jane Grey, England's 9-day queen, 16 years old when she was beheaded by her cousin, the wicked Mary Tudor, or Bloody Mary, as she's known, because she would not renounce a Protestant faith. If she had renounced a Protestant faith, she would have saved her life. But Lady Jane, there's 4 pages in Fox's Book of Martyrs of Lady Jane's courageous, brilliant, reasoned defense of the faith, arguing to silence the cardinals and the bishops of the Catholic Church and the Inquisition, because she knew what she believed, she knew why she believed it, she knew how to defend an argument. But that's how they silenced dissent. They accused her of treason. Religious leaders like the popes could silence critics and opposition by accusing them of heresy. These were death sentences. If you were a traitor, you could be beheaded. If you were a heretic, you could be burned at the stake. And how many God-fearing people were burned at the stake through the ages, like the first Protestant Archbishop of the Church of England, Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, said, as for the Pope, I defy him with all his false doctrines. And he was burned in Oxford. Today, the modern equivalent of these attempts to silence freedom of thought and freedom of conscience and freedom of religion, freedom of speech, are screaming racist, Islamophobe, homophobic bigot, anti-Semite, Nazi, legalist, intolerant, judgmental, or sexist. In fact, these tell you more about the person shouting these things than about the person being accused of it. There's a word against critics of Islam, it's called Islamophobia. There's a phrase used against critics of Judaism called anti-Semitic. What's the word used for people who are critical of Christianity? Well, I haven't come up with a name because which religion is most confident it can withstand criticism? Truth does not fear investigation. We don't mind debates. I'm willing to debate any pro-abort anywhere. People like Philip Stott and Ken Ham are willing to debate any evolutionist any day of the week anywhere. They're not willing because they know they don't have an argument. Liberal scientists can prove climate change is real, but they can't tell the difference between boys and girls. Now, look at this kind of nonsense that you get from KLM. It doesn't matter who you click with. Now, this is for gay pride, but it'll only work with one of those 3 combinations. Are you allowed to have do they not see what they're saying? It doesn't matter who you click with. Oh, so it doesn't matter that my seatbelt doesn't actually click. It'll only work with one of those combinations. But this is but for me to say that is probably hate speech. And for you to think that is a thought crime. And so for you to post something like this could be construed hate speech. This is a hate speech posting. You're suggesting there's something wrong with our higher education system. Now, consider when I was born, if you got bad grades, your parents jumped all over you. Today, if you get bad grades, they jump all over the teacher. It's now the teacher's fault. When I went to school, if anything was wrong, it was the student's fault. The teacher was always right. Now it's the other way around. Now, for you to post this picture of our hospitals, somebody could say, racist! And you post this one, mice die in mousetraps because they do not understand why the cheese is free. The same thing happens with socialism. This could be hate speech. It's a thought crime. Dad, if socialism doesn't work, why do people support it? Because that didn't work either, son. This could also be a hate crime, thought crime, hate speech, not allowed to post it. Posting this picture, pointing out that we had 750 carriages in Cape Town burned last year, just in the Cape Town Peninsula area. You post this and somebody accuses you of being a racist. Although, you're seeing a burning train, but you're racist for posting this. You post this, you'll also get into trouble. Leftists are some people who will riot in the streets, destroy property, and attack conservatives to protest against hate. Well, for just pointing out that they're being hateful, they will accuse you of a hate crime. Now, take this sort of thing. This happens frequently. Jewish men spray painting swastikas on their own home and arrested for actually reporting himself being a victim of a hate crime. Man admits fake hate crime report faces probation. This is in Schenectady. Andrew King admitted he spray painted swastikas in his own home and lied about it to the police. Here you've got this report. Now, just posting this could get you being accused of being a Nazi anti-Semite because you're pointing out that much of the hate crimes are frauds. Almost every time somebody trashes a mosque or does something against a mosque or leaves a mutton head or something or pig's head, it turns out that the mosque did it themselves. Every time a Jewish cemetery gets swastikas painted and so on, you find out actually the synagogue people themselves did it, Jews did it. In fact, many cases, it's the local rabbi who does it. This is normal. If you post this in Britain, in fact, Tommy Robertson was put in jail for blowing the whistle on the fact that in Britain, you had at least a million youngsters raped by Muslim gangs over decades, and the British police, including Scotland Yard, did nothing about it because they didn't want to be accused of being racist and homophobic bigots and Nazis and all that. And so thousands of children betrayed, some literally groomed and raped multiple times over and over by these Muslims. And when Tommy Robertson brought this to the light, he gets put in prison. But they had to release him afterwards. But his now Twitter has cancelled his Tommy Robertson's account, and so is YouTube, and so is Facebook. They've all cancelled Tommy Robertson's account, so totally wiped it out. Why? Because he's exposing Muslim rape gangs in Britain and the British government's cowardice and complicity in not dealing with this. Now, just posting this proves that I'm an anti-Semitic Nazi, because pointing out that Harvey Weinstein, who's produced the vast amount of films, including Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom, so on, is some predator, pariah, producer of vast amounts of some of the main films. In fact, just about every Academy Award, something or another, he's involved in it because, well, what's Academy Awards? It's a bunch of Jewish billionaires swapping gold statues with one another. I'll scratch your back this year, you scratch mine next year. And you point out that Hollywood is run by a bunch of pedophile, rapist, sexual perverts. A lot of them, actually. Masses of them. But the moment you post this, you'll be accused of being anti-Semitic Nazi, because the predominance of these people are Jewish. And therefore, just pointing out that Hollywood is run by a bunch of blaspheming antichrist perverts will make you a Nazi. So just imagine if John the Baptist was preaching today, "Oh, generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" What would you hear? "John, you're a legalist. You're pushing people away from Jesus. You need to show more love, love, love. Just show them how much God loves them. You're not very Christ-like, John. Stop judging everyone. You need to build a relationship with them first. You're being a stumbling block." Isn't that right? I mean, that's what John the Baptist would get. That's what Elijah would get. Because today we've got a bunch of wimps, wets, and weeds unwilling to preach the hard words of Jesus. This is a thought crime. Charles Spurgeon said concerning homosexuality, this once brought hell out of heaven on Sodom. This could be construed as a hate crime under new legislation. Or take R.J. Rushdoony's, politicians and preachers are continually moving God's landmarks and steadily destroying all moral boundaries and moral order. Thought crime. A lie doesn't become truth, and wrong doesn't become right, and evil doesn't become good just because it's accepted by a majority. This would probably be hate speech as well. Hate speech is what governments call free speech that they do not like. There's a worldwide phenomenon of promoting the concept of hate speech, and it's part of a comprehensive war against God. Just take an example of one of our favorite preachers, Dr. Ian Paisley. This is the classic 1982, and you can Google it, Ian Paisley confronts Pope as Antichrist in the EU Parliament, and you can watch this whole thing. And it's great, because as Pope John Paul stands up to speak at the EU, you suddenly hear, "I defy you, John Paul, Antichrist, with all your false doctrines." Although Ian Paisley gave it a lot louder than that. And he pulled out the sign, and they came and ripped it out, and he pulled out another one and ripped it out of his hands. He had 28 of them photocopied in his jacket pocket, and he kept pulling them out. And as the reporter said, no one can remember what Pope John Paul said that day, but everyone remembers what Ian Paisley said. Now, Ian Paisley showed traditional Protestant courage and conviction that the papacy is Antichrist, because the papacy persecutes Christians, banned Bibles, restricted the word of God for centuries, from the 12th century all the way through till 1964. Catholics weren't allowed to read the Bible unless they were clergy. And in fact, when they asked the man who later became Pope Benedict, the successor of John Paul, what he thought about what Ian Paisley said, well, that's just traditional Protestant teaching. Which it is. That's in every Protestant document, whether you're going to the Westminster Confession, the Synod of Dort, the Augsburg Confession, all Protestant confessions, the London Baptist Confession of 1689, they all identify the papacy as Antichrist. The papacy claims to be the vicar of Christ, the mouthpiece of Christ on earth. Protestants say, solus Christus, Christ alone is the head of the church. The Pope is Antichrist. The Pope puts himself in the place of Christ. He speaks, he claims to speak for Christ. He persecutes Christians. He's had Protestant Bible translators burned at the stake. Protestants have always rejected the papacy. The papacy claims that the Pope is the Holy Father. In the Bible, Holy Father is only used for God the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed in John 17 by the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, no one is good. But you mean to call the Pope His Holiness? So, yes, this is standard. But what Ian Paisley did in 1982 would today be considered a hate crime in most of Europe. And under the present ANC legislation, something like that would be considered a hate crime. Pat Buchanan once wrote, in half a lifetime, many Americans have seen their God dethroned, their heroes defiled, their culture polluted, their values assaulted, their country invaded, themselves demonized as extremists and bigots for holding on to beliefs that Americans have held on to for generations. This would be a thought crime and a hate crime under the legislation they are considering. The war against free speech is a threat to freedom. Freedom needs free speech. It's a threat to Christian schools. It is a threat to missions. It is a threat to ministries. Do you know, at the first outreach we organized for Eurochoir back in 2016, when they were here in Cape Town, which was at the waterfront, the premier tourist destination, the busiest tourist destination, Cape Town, and we'd organized for 1 hour on this podium in this amphitheater for the Eurochoir to sing. We were not going more than 7 minutes when along came security to Tertia and said, you've got to be closed down. She called me. I went there. And the security says, you've got to clear the stage, close us down. A Jewish woman has complained that this man speaking, Uncle Erlo, that's Reverend Erlo Stegen here, 81 years old at the time, he mentioned the name of Jesus. You've got to stop this now and clear the stage. I said, there's hundreds of people gathered here. They are applauding. They're joining in singing hymns like Amazing Grace. I argued for them for a long time. And fortunately, as the people joined in singing Amazing Grace and applauding, I said, look, do you want to write? See the people here, they love it. And through the radio back to the control room. They basically gave up. But one Jewish woman complains that somebody mentioned the name of Jesus reverently. Now, if he had sworn and blasphemed, that wouldn't have been a problem. But it was a thought crime and a hate crime. Somebody was offended. The fact that hundreds of people were enjoying it wasn't the point. And this is where hate speech bills are going to take you, where they can close down an evangelistic outreach or close down a Christian worship gathering, such as the Iroquois singing in many languages great hymns of the faith at the waterfront. And do we want that sort of thing to be closed down? Christian community radio stations would be threatened by these hate speech bills, because anyone could complain. It's a threat to families. It's a threat to individuals. Innocent comments like, well, marriage can only be between a man and a woman, has been construed as hate speech in Canada. People have lost their jobs for something as innocent as marriage can only be between a man and a woman. It's been enough for police investigations and criminal charges in parts of the United States and Australia, and parts of Europe too. Christians are getting beaten up for having common sense, normal, sane opinions. The draconian hate speech bill is one of the most serious, urgent threats to freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, and freedom of speech in South Africa's history, especially for those who hold to the biblical definition of marriage. A University of Cape Town UCT student was suspended from the Student Representative Council for expressing biblical beliefs on a personal Facebook page. Zazipo Pei, final year economics and statistics student, vice president of the SRC at UCT, who got over 4,000 votes to put in a position, responded to the US Supreme Court ruling that legalized same-sex so-called marriages in all 50 states in America. She wrote, "We are institutionalized and normalizing sin. God have mercy on us." That was the full total sum of her post on her personal Facebook page, not even on the SRC's Facebook page. The backlash to her brief post went beyond irrational. Homosexual activists at UCT launched a tirade, a vicious tirade of hate and intimidation against Zizi that defied description. Ironically, the attackers demanded tolerance. Homosexual pornography and the most depraved anti-Christian blasphemy was posted on her Facebook page. She was personally threatened, insulted, and vilified in the most despicable ways. How do you like this backlash as students' anti-gay Facebook post hits wrong chord? And this is news. This isn't even a letter. This is news article. UCT SRC head must fall. Student leaders call on Pei to quit over homophobia. Homophobia? Where's the homophobia? A phobia is an irrational hatred and fear. There's no homophobia. What are they talking about? She's talking about a US Supreme Court's decision normalizing sin, institutionalizing sin. Her SRC office was trashed. Scriptures pinned on her office wall were ripped off, stomped on. Semi-naked homosexual activists photographed themselves in her office in lewd poses and posted it. Despite the awful abuse and intimidation of Zizi, UCT management repeatedly and publicly expressed the commitment to protect LGBTQRS and so on rights, but apparently not the rights of Christians. The UCT management apparently took no action against those perpetrating the harassment and the criminal attacks on Zizi Po, but they suspended her for her biblical convictions. She's the victim of crimes, and she gets suspended, not the ones who did them. This was blatant, outrageous, anti-Christian discrimination. Homosexual students and every other group is allowed to freely express their thoughts and opinions at UCT, including the Atheist Society and the Pagan Society and the Humanist Society. But Christians do not seem to have the same rights or respect at University of Cape Town. UCT demanded that Zizi retract and apologize for her biblical statement, which she, of course, could not do. This is one example of what you could get under hate speech bills. This was the University of Cape Town giving her grief. If the hate speech bill comes in, it will be the Southern government and courts who would be hauling her through and throwing her in jail for what she posted. Then you just take America, Oregon. In Oregon, Aaron and Melissa Klein, owners of Sweet Cakes by Melissa, violated civil rights laws, they said, because they refused to design a cake for a lesbian wedding. Now, they said, it's not that they refused to serve lesbian and homosexual customers, they'd done it. If they came in and said, I'd like that cake, they would have sold it then. But they wanted a cake designed. In fact, this is the character that we'll see in a moment, the character who wanted the cake designed to promote lesbian wedding. They said they could not use their artistry to promote a message they didn't approve of. They were fined $135,000 as compensatory damage for emotional, mental, and physical suffering. They were slapped with a gag order that prohibits them from even publicly speaking about their refusal. And what was their refusal? To participate in or design a wedding cake for a same-sex union. So religious freedom is totally under attack in Gresham. And they had to close down this shop, and six other people who were being employed there lost their jobs. You know, this is now tolerance. The man with a helmet beating over the head, he's tolerant. The person getting beaten for their Christian convictions, they're intolerant. Then you get, also in 2013, a judge in Colorado ruling that Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Denver violated anti-discriminatory laws by refusing to design a cake for a homosexual wedding. Well, praise God that last year, the U.S. Supreme Court finally overturned the conviction and acquitted Jack Phillips of Master Cake Shop in Colorado that he had not committed any crime. He had the right of freedom of conscience. Then you get in Belfast, Northern Ireland, which is a bastion of Christianity. Asher's Baking Company appealed a ruling which said that it had broken the law, because this homosexual went to their shop. I mean, there's many bakers in Belfast, and they had to design this message on his cake, and they pointed out other cake shops that'd be willing to do it. But no, it had to be them. Instead of using his free enterprise choices and walking across the street to another bakery who didn't have such convictions, he laid a suit on them, and they have had to fight a battle for years over this. And in 2015, Judge Brownlee ruled that Asher's Baking Company had broken the sexual orientation and political discrimination laws. The bakery was taken to court by the Equality Commission. The irony of this, the Equality Commission. But there's no equality for the Christians in Northern Ireland. The MacArthur family own and run Asher's said they could not fulfill this order because it conflicted with their Christian beliefs. They lost the appeal. They went all the way up to the High Court. Praise God, they finally won that case. That marriage can only be between a man and a woman was their position. But you know, the homosexual, gay GB, pink inquisition, it's like a gun stuck dead. Bake my cake or else. We're going to unleash the fury of hell upon you. Well, the Ashers did not back down. They stood firm. They went through how much trauma, but they finally were vindicated in the courts. Pastors have been prosecuted for preaching what the Word of God teaches in Romans 1 concerning the sin of homosexuality. Take Swedish pastor Reverend Ackergren, charged with inciting hatred against homosexuals after a sermon where he urged Christians to show homosexuals deep respect and offer them the grace of Jesus Christ. That sounds like fomenting hatred to me. He called sexual immorality, including homosexuality, a cancerous growth in society. All immorality. He was convicted and sentenced to a month in jail. Now, this is a man in his 60s. The Swedish Supreme Court acquitted him on appeal. But again, years of battles in the courts. How much expense? How much trauma? But a hate speech bill would have meant go straight to jail. Quoting scriptures such as John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, has been condemned as intolerant, bigoted, judgmental, offensive, hate speech. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That is offensive to some people. Pro-life comments and scientific realities such as life begins at conception and abortion is murder has been condemned as hate speech by liberal radicals in North America, Europe, and Australia. Here's an old couple who got an 80-minute police interrogation for daring to suggest, well, why can't we display Christian literature next to the gay leaflets in the town hall? How far can this go? Well, the answer to that is in George Orwell's 1984 book, where thought police prosecute thought crimes. The bias, the prejudice, the malice being manufactured by secular humanists through Hollywood entertainment, mainstream news media, secular humanist textbooks, and increasingly intolerant political legislation, they're all providing a sinister tool chest and armory for anti-Christian intimidation, harassment, and persecution. Do you know the story behind this picture? Straight after Obama's Supreme Court had legalized same-sex unions, which led to everyone getting hysterical about, they organized a mock crucifixion of Christ, the gay community in Washington, D.C., to celebrate. Now, this is about tolerance. Cultural Marxism aims to destroy the family, destroy religion, destroy private property, and actually destroy the nation. Gag rules and restrictions on free speech are only a prelude to a tsunami of prosecutions, censorship, fines, and even ultimately imprisonment for those not willing to sell their soul, violate their conscience, and be intimidated into silence. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. On Wednesday, the 15th of February 2017, Freedom of Religion SA, that's 4SA, hosted a meeting at His People in Goodwood, Cape Town, to discuss potential threats to religious freedom from the Hate Speech Bill and the CRL Commission's proposals to regulate religion or register religious practitioners. The meeting was attended by ANC Deputy Minister of Justice, John Jeffrey, who addressed the delegates and gave an example of a minister who claimed had called for killing of gays from the pulpit. Highly unlikely, but one of the delegates in the meeting challenged him on this and made the distinction between somebody discussing academically what the law of God may require as far as law and due process of justice goes, and somebody inciting people to take the law into their own hands. Was this minister inciting violence, or was he discussing what the Bible teaches about when life begins? There's a big difference between advocating that abortion be recognized as murder and babies protected by law from the violence of abortion by due process of law, and some rabble-rouser calling for individuals to take the law into their own hands and murdering abortionists. Well, which was it? Well, Michael Swain, Executive Director of 4SA, said the bill's hate speech provisions have the potential to shut down important dialogue and to entrench a polarization of viewpoints. Member of Parliament Steve Swart challenged Mr. Jeffrey over the danger of criminalizing free speech. At a time when our legal system is overwhelmed, not coping with real serious crimes, such as armed robberies, murders and rape, is it wise, is it helpful to swamp the courts even further with time-wasting, money-wasting intrusions into freedom of speech and freedom of religion? Is this hate speech? Are we not allowed to speak up for the unborn? This would be a thought crime for sure. This woman here in America says, in America today, almost as many black children are aborted as are born, which is true, but somebody could say that's a hate crime. In South Africa, just pointing out that Ishkom isn't keeping the lights on could be considered a hate crime. Posting this showing Eskom having a generator outside their offices, this could be considered as racist. Posting this picture on social media could also be considered as racist hate speech. And reminding them of their own article that Eskom back in 2015 needed to shed over 1,000 white engineers, and then a few years later they bankrupt, ruined an edge of financial ruin, that could be considered a thought crime and hate speech. And then posting this, 2008 versus 2018, how much money, revenue they got, how much profit they got, how much capacity they had, and how the electricity sold is actually going down, and despite the staff employed being much greater and all the rest of it, and the price of electricity is so much greater and the cost per employee is trebling and so on, you post this, this could be considered hate speech, racist, thought crime. What about this? This newspaper article, Eskom, $139 billion theft probed. Billion with a B. That's Rand, not Zimbabwe dollars. $139 billion theft from Eskom. That's the electricity provider. This could be a hate crime. How to steal a bank? The VBS and these people. Now, the fact that you've posted these people who were involved in the stealing the bank, somebody could say this is a hate crime. This is racist. What about this book? License to Loot, How the Plunder of Eskom and Other Parastatals Almost Sank South Africa. Well, they're not finished yet. publishing this. This 40 million high school, as it looked 2 months ago and what looks now, is it's been looted by the community. You build a high school and all the materials get looted by the community. And now the school, another 40 million needs to be found to provide the facilities. Mr. Jeffrey then opined that in the light of the wars of religion, it was necessary to implement the hate speech bill. Well, at this, I had to stand up, the wars of religion. I challenged him at that meeting and his people, saying, it seems ironic to have a politician talk about wars of religion, which after all did end 350 years ago with a peace of Westphalia in 1648. We have just come out of a century where secular humanist states, atheist states, socialist, communist states have murdered over 190 million of their own citizens. The wars of religion, which ended so many centuries ago, pale into insignificance compared to the colossal body count of secular states in our own lifetimes. Secular humanism has caused most of the wars and massacres in the 20th century, as documented by Professor R.J. Rummel's Death by Government book. And the Black Book of Communism, over 900 pages, could drop it in liberals' foot and make them limp. It documents from the archives of the Soviet Union in Eastern Europe alone over 100 million of their own citizens killed in peacetime in the name of atheism just between 1917 and 1991. All of this started with registering churches and restricting freedoms. This is why people in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia danced for joy and celebrated the fall of communist dictator Mengistu and toppled the idol of Vladimir Lenin. The hate speech bill threatens freedom of speech. It restricts freedom of conscience. It erodes freedom of religion. Who determines what hate speech is? You know, there was a time when women used femininity, not feminism. They were respected, empowered, and valued. That would be hate speech. A true feminist would fight for the rights of preborn women. Obviously a hate crime. Remember to connect male to female. Why assign gender roles to electrical connections? Let the circuits decide their own identities. Hate crime, obviously. The ANC government has failed in the last 25 years to deal with kill the Boer, kill the farmer songs and slogans. Is this hate speech? No, this isn't hate speech. These have actually been an incitement to violence, and they've led to the thousands of brutal murders and torture of South African farmers and their families. Documented facts. Are we to believe, all this I was asking John Jeffries at this meeting, are we to believe that this government is seriously concerned with dealing with genuine hate speech and hate practice, as evidenced in the murder and torture of so many farmers and their family members, which is an ongoing crisis? And murder in the townships is rife. Are we to believe that the ANC government really intends to deal with genuine hate speech and incitement to violence, such as found in many mosques where jihad is proclaimed and practiced? Are they really going to monitor Friday messages at the mosque? Freedom of speech is not negotiable. Are we to accept that pornography is legally protected as free speech? We're told even that blasphemy is considered free speech, but now our sermons and our publications and our postings are to be examined to see if anything can be construed as offensive by subjective secularists who have a track record of harassing and prosecuting Christians. Freedom of speech is essential for any free society. There is a clear anti-Christian bias amongst many in this present government, and we do not believe that the political appointees will be fair, even-handed, and objective in determining what constitutes hate speech and what does not. Thousands of churches have been closed in Cuba. Tens of thousands of Christians imprisoned under similar legislation enacted under Fidel Castro. Well, many of the delegates assembled responded to my questions and statements with applause. This seemed to unsettle the Justice Department representative, who stuttered and stammered in trying to formulate a reply. He neglected to answer most of the issues I raised, and finally he lamely said, I do not think that it is constructive to try and compare who was most responsible for deaths in the last century. Let us just agree that some people died because of wars of religion. Well, what kind of answer is that? Mr. Jeffrey then claimed, no rights are absolute. All rights must have limitations. Do you know what that is? That's a privilege. Privileges have restrictions. Rights are absolute. How can you say all rights must have limitations? And who determines the limitations? Whatever happened to being innocent until proven guilty? Truth does not fear investigation. They want to make you guilty until you prove yourself innocent. They want to put the burden of proof on the person being accused. This is a very serious threat. Stifling debate, criminalizing dissent does not make for a free society. Condemning people without granting them a meaningful opportunity to answer accusations is unjust. The invasive registration process proposed by the Commission is unconstitutional, unworkable, and unnecessary. The proposed regulation of religion recommended by the CRL Commission is also not in keeping with the South African Charter of Religious Rights and Freedoms, to which the CRL is meant to be a signatory. Now, of course, you get these charlatans and conmen who come up at the right time on SATV to try and justify government clamping down freedom of religion. Charlatans and con artists to exploit the poor and the vulnerable in society need to be exposed and dealt with as false advertising, as we do in our discernment seminars and the Justin Peters Call for Discernment and Clouds Without Water videos. We must encourage greater discernment amongst Christians, no doubt about it. But from a constitutional perspective, the CRL proposed regulation of religion in South Africa, if implemented, would violate the constitutional rights to freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of association, freedom of belief, and freedom of opinion, all of which are absolutely essential for freedom. Rather than creating new laws, which would place additional burdens on the already strained resources of government, the police and the courts who are not coping, the state should focus its energy and resources on enforcing existing laws to address problems identified. I mean, it would be nice if they could just deal with things like murder, for example. 4SA strongly recommends a code of conduct to which religious institutions and practitioners should be encouraged to subscribe. However, you need to find solutions that are practical and constitutionally permissible without infringing on or eroding freedom of religion, freedom of belief, opinion, speech, conscience, and association. The history of registering churches and religious practitioners, such as in the Soviet Union, Red China, and Cuba, show the disastrous, destructive results of interfering with freedom of conscience. The communists destroyed over 49,000 churches in the Soviet Union in 20 years. They killed hundreds of thousands of ministers of the gospel. They murdered millions of Christians, and it all started with registering churches and limiting freedom of speech. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Africa Christian Action recently published the book The Rise of the Gay, GB, and the Pink Inquisition, which documents how the radical LGBT homosexual lobby is jealous for the loyalty and the approval of all. And they're also actually quite blasphemously anti-Christian. I bet hell is fabulous. Well, I wouldn't bet my life on it. This, by the way, is this year's Academy Awards. No longer satisfied with freedom or tolerance, they now demand approval, funding, and conformity. And Hollywood is the classic blasphemy, pornography, perversion, promoting institution on earth. Some even demand prosecution of dissenting voices, because closed minds stop thought crimes. If you think the homosexual agenda will not affect you, your congregation, or your family, you're wrong. Homosexualists and the gender fluidity movement want to transform the very fabric of society. They want to homosexualize the schools and the next generation, and they want government funding, that is your taxes, to force this on all. They have worked tirelessly to destroy the Boy Scouts of America, just for example, on this very issue. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Satan's plan is to invert reality, where blasphemy and perversion become the new normal, where free speech is criminalized, and blasphemy and treason to the New World Order is condemned. Pornography becomes an essential aspect of free speech. Abortion becomes the blood sacrifice sacrament of the New World Order. Effectively, abortion replaces the Lord's Supper. But it's fine because they're doing it legally. Polwish. If abortion is such an acceptable choice, why do photos of abortion make pro-choicers so angry? This, by the way, is the face of tolerance. Questioning the multicultural interfaith agenda of the New World Order becomes treason and heresy. Questioning the secular humanist version of origins through billions of years evolution is intolerable. Rock layers do not take millions of years. At Mount St. Helens, these rock layers took 3 hours. But this is doubtless hate speech to even post that. Questioning the secular humanist New World Order version of history is now considered subversive. Take, for example, Bishop Williamson saying the only sin that's left in this world now is Nazi sin. The new religion, that's a new religion. Hitler's the new devil. The 6 million are the Redeemer, which means that the Jewish people are God. That's a religion of today, and it's deadly. Absolutely deadly. It's got nothing to do with the faith, except it's a clever imitation, because you get Auschwitz instead of Golgotha, and you get the gas chamber instead of the cross. That's deadly. Ask yourself, what is the real religion of the people today? What's the real religion of the state today? Can I blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ? No problem. Blaspheme as much as you like. Can I blaspheme against the Holocaust by saying there was no gas chambers? Horror, horror, horror. Burn him at the stake. He's a heretic. You can see where the real religion of the government is today, and the politics and the mass of people today. Now, whether you agree with Bishop Williamson or not, doesn't he have the right of free speech? According to many, no. This is a hate crime. This is a thought crime. He needs to be destroyed. Proclaiming and teaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and applying the Lordship of Christ to all areas of life is condemned as hate speech and intolerance. So how are we as Bible-believing Christians to respond to this war against free speech, criminalizing of Christian conscience, prosecuting of thought crimes, pervasive pressure to normalize and accept pornography, perversion, and blasphemy? You are not meant to blink an eyelid at pornography, perversion, and blasphemy, but you're meant to get worked up over a thought crime. Nearly 500 years ago, Professor Martin Luther said, "If I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God's word, except precisely that point where the devil and the world are at that moment attacking, then I'm not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all the battlefront besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point." We must smash cultural Marxism. And the Biblical Issues Voters Guide is just one way of doing it. And boy, are there some people squealing. Because facts are very uncomfortable things. Facts are persistent things. Facts are stubborn things. German reformer Professor Martin Luther warned, "I'm much afraid that schools will prove to be wide gates to hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not constantly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt." Why are we surprised when these universities turn into such cesspools of debauchery? They didn't keep the main thing the main thing. They moved off the greatest book ever written, the greatest teacher ever. They moved off the faith that gave birth to the universities. Well, no wonder they've become corrupt. They're not Bible-based. We, as Bible-believing evangelical Christians, must respond as Dr. Martin Luther responded at Worms before the assembled political and ecclesiastical might of Europe, 18th of April, 1521. "Unless I'm convinced by Scripture or by clear reasoning that I'm in error, for popes and councils have often erred and contradict themselves, I cannot recant. To go against conscience is neither safe, it is unsafe and dangerous. My conscience is captive to the word of God. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise, so help me God." Of course, making such a bold biblical stand comes at a price. Professor John Wycliffe, the morning star of the Reformation, the greatest professor of the greatest university in the world at that time, was kicked out of Oxford University because of his bold biblical stand, his Bible translation, his Bible teaching, and translating scriptures into English. Professor Jan Hus, rector of Prague University, was excommunicated by the Pope and burned at the stake at Constance. However, as Jan Hus was pressed to recant to save his life, he declared, "I would not, for a chapel full of gold, recede from the truth. The truth is mighty and stands forever." Huss declared he would prefer to be burned in public than silenced in private, in order that all Christendom might know what I've taught in the end. Huss declared he would gladly seal with his blood the truths he had taught in his life. In the truth of the gospel I've written, taught, and preached, today I will gladly die. Huss made a prophecy as he is about to die. He first made a joke. My goose is cooked, he said. Now, Huss is the Bohemian word for goose. But 100 years from now, a swan will arise whose voice you'll not be able to silence. Now, many recognized Professor Martin Luther as that voice, hence the prevalence of swans in Lutheran architecture. Interestingly, a century later, as Martin Luther was being ordained into the priesthood, he was required to lay face down before the altar in Erfurt Cathedral, this cathedral in Erfurt. Martin Luther was actually lying face down over the tomb of the bishop who had burned Huss at the stake. You could imagine that that bishop, hearing Professor Jan Hus predict that 100 years later a swan would rise whose voice he would not be able to silence, he may have muttered something along the lines of, over my dead body. Indeed, Martin Luther entered the priesthood over the dead body of that very bishop. God does have a sense of humor. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Our Lord Jesus Christ commands us not to fear any man. The fear of man can prove to be a trap and a snare, and we should fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell forever. The fear of God is liberating. Better to fear the one true God than to be enslaved to the fear of a multitude of men. Deception brings bondage. The truth sets us free. It's the truth that sets us free. Deception always brings bondage. The truth brings freedom. What a brave woman here, giving the biblical facts. Homosexuality is sin. Christ can set you free. Homosexuality is an abomination, filthy, unlawful, vile, and unnatural. Gives the scripture references. This would all be considered hate speech. She'd be guilty of a thought crime, locked up under this kind of bill. Do we not have the right to say this, even if people don't agree? Surely, truth does not fear investigation. We need to notice that those people who claim to be concerned with hate speech, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. You could write 2 Peter 2 verse 19 over all these hate speech people. The people screaming racist the most are the most racist of all. As Christians, we are, of course, against hate. But the hate speech bill is not designed to silence genuine hate. What is the worst kind of hate speech? The worst kind of speech is blasphemy against Almighty God, our Creator and Eternal Judge. Take this character wearing a dump Christianity in the trash can t-shirt. If Jesus returns, kill him again. UndoJesus.org. This creep will be crying out for the mountains to bury him under an avalanche on a day of judgment, rather than face the wrath of the Lamb. But this is the kind of arrogance you get. If Mary had had an abortion, we wouldn't be in this mess. I've seen this kind of sign in Germany and Frankfurt at Kirchentag in 1987. I've seen this in England. I've seen this in South Africa. I've heard it in Cape Town, at Stellenbosch University, in fact. If only Mary had had an abortion. You see, this is hate speech. Going to hell and proud. You see, the blasphemous Antichrist hatred out there, and yet that's the real hate speech. Libel and slander are real hate speech, yet much of our entertainment industry vilifies the victims, victimizes the villains, inverting reality, slandering God's people, demonizing those whom blaspheming, God-hating perverts hate. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. People full of hatred cannot be Christians. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. How clear is that? Hatred stirs up strife. Love covers all sins. He who says he's in the light but hates his brother is in darkness until now. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught, the world hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. That's why the world hates Christ. Jesus declared, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. The servant's not above the master. If they hated me, they'll hate you too. The Lord gave a parable about how the people of the world would say of God's Son, we will not have this man rule over us. The word of God commands us, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what we're called to do, expose evil. We must stand for life. Back to the Bible for reformation and revival. 500 years ago, in 1519, Swiss reformer Ulrich Zwingli dispensed with the Latin Mass, began expository preaching in the local language, teaching from Matthew 1 verse 1, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the whole New Testament. We need to go back to the Bible for reformation and revival. In the face of intimidation and threats from the world, we need to respond with courage and conviction of the Protestant reformers Martin Luther and Ulrich Zwingli. Our conscience must be captive to the Word of God. We must stand on the unchangeable Word of Almighty God. We must not be conformed to this world. We must be willing to be different. We must stand up for Jesus. Step out in faith. Speak up and proclaim the Word of God faithfully and accurately. Scripture alone is the ultimate authority. This is what our Coalition Revival manual with all these documents stands for. In so many ways, Dresden 1945 is a picture of the church today. So much of Christian civilization has been destroyed, like in that firebombing on the 14th February 1945, which saw the capital of Saxony, with the greatest Saxon of them all, Martin Luther's statue, being toppled. They rebuilt the statue before they rebuilt the church. But in time, Dresden was rebuilt, and we need to rebuild every building block of Christian civilization in our families, in our churches, in our communities today. And just as Dresden was rebuilt, we need to rebuild Christian values in all areas of life. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Truth does not fear investigation. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This is a great picture in the Hall of Justice in Switzerland. And it shows Lady Justice, not blindfolded. In America, Lady Justice always blindfolded. In Europe, Lady Justice, no blindfold. Sees clearly. Holding the scales of justice with a sword, not pointing upward, as in so many of the American statues, but pointing downward to an open book which says on it, Holy Bible. The elders of the city look towards Lady Justice, who is pointing to the Holy Scriptures as the base for law. As the people argue their cases, and the sheriff stands ready with his double-handed sword in the foreground. The title of this is Justice Lifts the Nations. Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So this is our vision. This is our call and our need. We have this hate speech bill coming at us. We need to be able to use our freedom of speech or lose our freedom of speech. Any questions? Any comments?
I would have liked to ask the guy one question. With our beautiful police and the most effective police in the world, how are we going to implement this hate speech bill?
Well, indeed. The trouble is, they may have a greater will to be prosecuting hate speech than murder. It seems, but quite right. They can't even deal with serious crime. And now they want to make thoughts a crime? Pretty bad.
But it'll become so messy, because the very fact that he said, oh no, but there was a guy in the pulpit saying you should kill abortionists, that could be considered hate crime. So it's
true.
Himself.
It is. It's bizarre. It's a mess. But remember, it's designed as a weapon to attack Christians with. That's the whole point.
Are we going to burn then Charles Darwin's book? It's the most racist book on, I think, what they have in there.
Well, this is the point. Once you open things up to subjective government, well, I feel offended by what he said. I mean, how can you even prove that? It needs to be objective, what's happened. But if it's just subjective, we can all have counterclaims and it's chaos. But that's what they want. Because they'll be selective as to which prosecutions they pursue and which they don't.
Yeah, because the people are going to there's going to be more people complaining about the Christians, and that's going to get more attention of the government, which will end up in the government researching or acting out on those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the majority of people are
just complaining. Take racism. Racist hate speech is some frustrated victim of crime using inappropriate vulgar terminology. She goes to jail. But people having continual hate speech and singing publicly, kill the Boer, kill the farmer, things like that, that's not hate speech. That doesn't get prosecuted. So already you can see there's not an even hand here. It's not meant to be even.
Yeah.
Any other comments, questions?
It's crazy, like, because we have, like, reason to want to share the Bible because of the Great Commission, because of the redemption that we've received through Christ and all of that. So, and we want to share that with others. But then they have no reason to want to proclaim this. Let me tell you everything that I don't believe in.
Yes.
Like, it boggles my mind. They only do it because they love their sin. And they don't
yes.
want to have their sin caught out.
That's what it comes down to, justifying our sin, which is what Ray Comfort calls out in the Atheist Delusion. Let me take a wild guess what you're actually trying to cover up. And I have to agree, yes, it's because they love their sin. Aldous Huxley admitted that the reason why we accepted the theory of evolution from Charles Darwin is because it justified our sexual mores. That blunt.
They actually know anything about history, about civilization.
Yeah. Well, yes. When I went to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., they had on the wall, in concrete, anti-Semitism began with the birth of Jesus Christ. How blasphemous, how vile, how inaccurate and dishonest is that? But this just shows the mentality. Went to the British Holocaust Museum, which they have smuggled in as part of the Imperial War Museum. They've got there that anti-Semitism began with Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation. So one blames the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther. The other one blames Jesus Christ. This is the kind of mentality that you've got out there. They're not dealing with things rationally, but it's not pro-choice. It's pro-abortion and it's anti-Christ. And it's not that they're against hate speech. It's that they for blasphemous, antichrist hate speech. But they're against people pointing out the hatred of their ways. But they call what they do intolerance. This is exactly what George Orwell's 1984 teaches. So the Ministry of Plenty organizes the starvation and the rationing. The Ministry of Love does the tortures. The Ministry of Peace organizes the war. Ministry of Truth does the propaganda and the lies. Everything has an innocuous name, but it's exact opposite that they're doing. And when you read it, if it doesn't seem that on target, then you couldn't have traveled to a communist country. The moment you travel to a communist country, that's exactly what it is. The Ministry of Home Affairs in Cuba, they do the concentration camps and the tortures in Damascus. Minister of Home Affairs. You would think that's innocuous. Do you know what the KGB stands for in Russian when you translate through to English? Department of Homeland Security. Department of Homeland Security. And they the biggest terror group ever known to man, the KGB. But they've got these innocuous names. And then some characters in America decide to start a Department of Homeland Security in America, and you think, does nobody here study their history? Do none of them look at the meanings of words? It's shocking. Any other comments?
Yeah, it's just, you know, I would like to see how if someone would use their worldview and debate them in the court of law and said, well, we are all, our brain is evolved chemicals that's fizzing together. So how can you be more accurate than mine?
It's true.
All chemicals. And then to the
random chance.
To take the homosexuals' worldview, because they all believe in evolution, some of them claim to be Christian, but anyway, most of them believe in
they'd evolution. Be theistic evolutionists.
And they say, well, you know, it's the next species must reproduce in order to survive. So what are they there for? They're on the food chain. So we must eat them, according to what evolution is teaching.
Yes.
And I think someone must just point this out in the error, but, you know, where do they get...
And we must. And that's what we've got to on the radio, and social media, and webs, and articles, and public speaking, and conversations. We need to get people thinking. Because the trouble is, most of the people are just getting bombarded all the time. If anyone's paying attention to SATV or newspapers, they're just getting pumped full of this. We've got to have hate speech bills. We've got to have, yes, it makes sense. Oh, expropriation without compensation. The government's got to do something. And on there's justifications. And by the way, after we had a Zimbabwean at this ministers' conference give an excellent economist position on why expropriation without compensation is completely counterproductive, destructive, destroyed Zimbabwe economically, morally, socially, legally, in every way. What do you get? You get ministers standing up saying, I don't think we should talk politics. We should leave politics to the politicians. We should just preach the gospel. I think we can only pray. Let's not talk about these things. It's bringing divisiveness. And so you have all these idiots standing up and saying mindless things that I've heard how many times about how many different things. And the communists must be saying amen. Because this is exactly what they want. They want ministers to talk about. All we can do is pray. And yet, in Judges chapter 7, when Israel faced a defeat at Ai, and Joshua's lying on his face praying, God came to him and said, what are you doing lying down your face? Get up, there's sin in the camp. There's a time to pray, there's a time to act. Prayer is meant to be a preparation for action, not an alternative to action obedience. So when prayer becomes an excuse for disobedience and inactivity and passivity, it's a crime. It's a sin. And yet you have these ministers, and aside from the fact that you've got people stupid enough to stand up and say this, there's still a few hundred people out there saying, amen. All we can do is pray. Amen. I don't think we should talk politics. We should leave that to the politicians. Oh, leave it to the communist, atheist, persecutors who want to annihilate Christianity. Leave politics in their hands. Don't get involved in politics. That's what the communists want. Yes, I agree. Christians shouldn't be involved in politics.
And leave the fate of your religious institution in their hands.
Yes, no, exactly. But you get people talking like that. Yeah, I don't think we should do anything divisive. It's like John the Baptist starting to preach and all these people would be just shouting him down in today's climate because he's being judgmental. He should just talk about love, peace, unity, happy things. Mustn't bring up the truth. So, any other comments?
I find it quite ironic, that if you point out the corruption that's going on in Eskom, you're labeled as racist, but with BEE, they only employ people of a certain race. So how can it be another race that's...
Yes.
Yes, as soon as...
as soon as
they see that it's not working.
I mean, if there were different races, then I'm sure many of them would have been part of the corruption, but there isn't.
But we've got documents dating back to the 1970s where the ANC is condemning racial quotas for sport. You can't have racial quotas for sport. All South African athletes need to be boycotted. There needs to be full sanctions South Africa because there's racial quotas for sports. And now they've got racial quotas for sports, but some are they justified. It's bizarre. On the one hand, now you remember what they try and quote from this MLK dream. I have a dream where men will be judged by the content of the character and not by the color of their skin. And then they get into power and we've got to have job quotas and sports quotas by color of skin, not by content of character. And then saying, well, whatever happened to the dream? Well, was that just propaganda to get what they wanted? Now they're able to loot the country? Well, basically, that's what it's all about. So, as this whole hate speech bill is on the table being discussed, it's an important thing to get people thinking about, talking about. We want this video shared. We want the audio shared. We want the articles shared. We want to get people out there thinking about and complaining and making it an issue in the upcoming elections because people need to be finding out, do you support this hate speech bill? Well, if not, speak out against it or we won't even think about voting for you. I think we can change some of the actual vocabulary. In fact, we've noticed how our voters' guide's been making an impact because when we had Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi speaking at our Back to the Bible conference in Durban, he said, the voters' guide's very important. I want to commend Africa Christian Action for the Voters Guide. It makes us think and reevaluate our policies. And I'm, tomorrow when we launch our manifesto for Nkata Freedom Party, I'm advocating that we stand for bringing back the death penalty for murder. Now, that's something that they got a negative on because they opposed it. And now he's saying, in the light of what's happened, obviously it was wrong. We need to bring back the death penalty. Now, interesting that that's one thing he focused on, but they're reading the voters' guide and they saw we got a bad score here. We need to change our policies. That's what we want. Now we're seeing also the ACDP, after being warned for years about their affirmative action policy, which they were defending, including in this boardroom, after you're personally showing them what's wrong, now they claim they're changing the policy because the voters' guide was published showing that they supported affirmative action. Now they're all making a big scene about it. And now they're claiming that they don't support it anymore. Well, good. That's what we wanted. But the voters' guide's not on what you say you're going to do. It's on what you've already been doing. What's your track record? And so it just shows how important it is. Politicians hate it when you shine a light on them. As Ronald Reagan said, the first time I went to America, January 1988, and I heard Ronald Reagan, one of the first public meetings I attended, I was so close to him, I was four rows from the front, he walked right past me, I was on the aisle, stood up there, and the first thing Ronald Reagan said is, the most frightening words in English language are, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. Everyone collapsed in laughter. He said, government philosophy is, if it works, tax it. If it doesn't work, subsidize it. He said, the closest thing to eternal life you could get on earth is a government subsidized program. And he carried on just attacking governments. And government's not the solution, government's the problem. We need less government, less laws, more personal responsibility. Ronald Reagan was tremendous. I mean, he kept people rolling in eyes with stories about the Soviet Union and the jokes and how communism, socialism doesn't work and all the rest of it. And he was attacking Congress. And he said at one point, politicians never see the light until they first feel the heat. Help me put heat under those bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. Stand up for the right to life. Enact legislation to bring an end to the abortion holocaust in our country. So Ronald Reagan was speaking our kind of language like this. But unfortunately, you've got a whole lot of people today who are thinking, government's the solution. You must give the governments more power. It'll solve all our problems. That's delusion. Governments are the problem. They're a bunch of criminal, parasitic thieves, looters. One needs to bring government down to the lowest level. One needs to decentralize checks and balances, like the Swiss, like Singapore. Just bring it down, 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 down to the local level. Put government back in the hands of the local community. No more professional politicians. No more receiving massive packages and all these different things. It's not right that how can a person become millionaires and billionaires in politics? You cannot get rich in politics unless you're a crook. That was said by President Truman, who, when he finished in the White House, he walked down to the station, got on a train, and rode the train home. And that's the way it should be. Ian Smith rode a bicycle to work, walked to work, drove his own car. You don't need to have all this nonsense around. If government would be brought back to the reasonable level, and yet you get these criminals abusing people, and the people vote for them again and again. I mean, just think, America's got a billionaire president whose first act was to say, I'm not going to take any salary, I don't need it, and he lowered taxes for everyone. We've got a billionaire president whose first act in Parliament was to increase taxes on everyone, especially the poor, with increasing VAT to 15% and increased fuel taxes and everything else. So how is it that Cyril Ramaphosa became a billionaire in politics? How can you become a billionaire in politics unless you're a crook? And this is the thing. We've got criminals running our country, looting this country. I don't know if you've seen the latest reports. You know, I've been quoting the African Union's older report that a full quarter, 25% of the GDP of South Africa stolen by government corruption. That's old news. The new AU report is that it's a third. Over 33% of South Africa's GDP is looted by government corruption. 33%. And they're talking about Jan van Riebeck and Cecil Rhodes, Cecil Rhodes didn't take a salary when he was Prime Minister of the Cape. He donated to the country a home, Critters Cure. He donated to us everything from UCT grounds, the funds for it. He's still funding the education of hundreds of thousands of people around this country and around the world through his foresight 100 years after he died. Everything from Kirstenbosch Gardens donated. What if these characters like Ramaphosa donated to the country, or Zuma, or Mbeki, or Mandela? What have they done for us? And yet they will damn to hell a person like Cecil Rhodes or Donald Trump, who didn't take a salary from the people and just gave and donated their time. But the people who steal from you, people think, oh, they can represent our interests. They're going to help us. You know, to vote it for the ANC once, I think, was stupid. To vote for ANC twice is criminal insanity. To have done it five times, what on earth can you call that? That is beyond terminal insanity. To consider doing it a sixth time, how thick can anybody be? These people are the most incompetent criminals on the planet. They are totally without any redeeming features. They're complete and utter racist thieves, liars and cheats, failed in everything, can't even keep the lights on. And they're doing all this with foreign aid. They don't have a war, they don't have sanctions. When South Africa had a war, when we had sanctions, when we had conscriptions, I could go to Britain and get more pounds for my rand than I'd put down rands. I could go to America and get more rand, more dollars back than rands. The rand was more powerful than a pound and dollar when we had sanctions, war, and conscription. Now we've got no conscription, no sanctions, and foreign aid, and our money is virtually worthless. You travel overseas, it's pitiful. You calculate what it costs to get a bottle of water or something. The exchange rate, it's just mind-bogglingly, astronomically terrible. And in Botswana, the people can buy their petrol for half the cost that it costs us, because 60% of what we're paying at the petrol tank, according to the AA, is tax and levies. 60% of your petrol price is going to the government. 60%. Vastly more than is going to the oil companies, the oil countries, the petrol station, the person who actually put the petrol in. The government's taking 60% of the money of petrol. And Botswana is the landlocked country who buys their petrol from South Africa. They can sell their petrol half the price we do. We've got a bunch of criminals. Anybody stupid enough to vote for the ANC shouldn't be out alone without adult supervision. So, we need to get this message out there. And what I just said would probably be considered a hate crime. Thought crime. But that's what free speech is meant to be, to tell people what they don't want to hear. So, any other questions, comments, complaints, criticisms? Well, let's pray. Let's bring this matter of the hate speech bills before the Lord and the mission and the seed that was sown. And may this message go far and wide and equip people to fight against all restrictions on free speech and freedom of religion.